So, the rip put this stuff on so that we have some record of the whole thing, that we are going to say. The whole idea here is, also put the lapel on.
Yeah.
So, the whole idea of this meeting is that it's not me who will be talking all the time, so that would be a boring, that would be definitely a boring meeting.
So Joel is going to talk.
I'm going to listen.
So actually the reason why we got together is that it's about the time to A, make sure that when Petra leaves us, I'm afraid it may happen, right? I mean, it didn't change your mind yet.
Well,
your girlfriend didn't change your mind. So that whatever he's been doing is not forgotten, and then people can stay on his shoulders, and I hope that he won't get out entirely out of this problem, but still we need to continue on this. So I think Joel will be, is my main hope, that he's going to pick up the Kindle spotting and some of these ideas. And also the reason why Motricek is here is that Joel is also getting interested in all four models of tempo envelope. And of course, Petr Fosek knows a lot about it, but
from
you will be here and from different point of view. Jamotichek is working mainly on speech coding. And so this is, I guess this is it. So I guess that really you should be talking more than anybody else because you should be asking questions.
Yeah, it's right.
So that you need to know. And
let me just tell us what you know already about, I don't know, how far you are with this features.
So basically I started reading about the features that's taking the long temporal and time frame. It's traps and tandem approach.
Signals.
Yeah. So then I also started with, there was a paper on fitting a AR model to the obesity of the signal. Started with that and slowly getting used to the stuff. Paper by Dan Ellis.
That's how it started, basically, because that was Mario Sartinelos and Dan Ellis. They had a paper, I believe it was not ASRU or something, right? It was ASRU. That was the time when they weren't using very long segments.
Yeah, okay.
It was like 50 milliseconds. They were playing at the time. So then the story was that Marios presented that at some meeting, and we realized, that might be a cute thing for estimating spectral energies, because that's what we want, and the way we are doing it is, I think it works, but it's a little bit inelegant.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow stupid, because so first do the frame based estimate, and then you get stick to 100 hertz sampling, 10 millisecond sampling or something, and then you just pick up the trajectory. So Marios was here for half a year, or even more, and started working with Petr. Just came, so they were working a little bit together. I mean, Marios was programming in MATLAB, and Petr was putting it in.
I just rewrote it in
C++. But then we were hoping to pick up on that a little bit more, and we did, right? You did a little bit of work.
Well, we tried many knobs to tune on that because you can decide what compression factor and everything. So I tried a little bit, like put maybe three knobs and tried to go through the 3D cage to see what happens in which kind of settings. So this we did, but...
And we never published that anywhere, right?
We didn't, because there was still a question that I don't remember right now, because there was some essential question. I don't remember. I would have to look at it. And because before we could write anything, I would have to be sure that something is right there. I couldn't be sure about it at the time. So, and anyway, it takes time. This computation, it's very inefficient. It takes like 100 times more than computing some MFCCs, computing these features, because it's a huge DCT, huge FFT everywhere.
We were also doing a series thing that we were stepping it by 10 milliseconds, right? at the time.
Yeah, there was no optimization. We just stick to the trap. We wanted to make as close to trap as possible, which is silly, but that you have to start somewhere.
Never stand, yeah.
And then I continued with another paper that you're mentioning, SP trap. So just moving around with that idea. And also, the main idea today why I told maybe is like if you can list down what all things are there to be taken care of, then one by one, because finally if I find that you have something else, so maybe to list down the things other than the, what I've already taken from you.
Okay.
And also to discuss them.
So, last time we were talking about what? About Gaussians, you have the Gaussians running somehow, like
yeah.
Feature extraction.
Yeah, feature extraction.
And the tandem training also. So you are able to train the net now.
So you may be the only one in the whole world now, because Qifang is gone, and Barry is gone. So Morgan was joking.
They are gone from ICSI?
They are gone from ICSI. Qifang went to PI, but Barry is at Lawrence Livermore. He basically got a job. He graduated. And he'll be working on things which he cannot talk about. He can't even say it on the microphone here. And so Morgan was only half joking. Somebody was asking him something. It was Matthew, and he said, "Well, probably we'll be coming to ask you because nobody really knows anymore, Alexei. So please take."
Who's the one who is now developing equipment in things that MLP4 and?
Well, nobody. That was Barry, and now it's closest to actually Brno is doing a lot of that. Now they picked up the software and they play with this 4-layer nets. So there might be that Brno will be soon the ultimate expert on.
But still, we have the experts who made the software down here. You know, Olivier.
Which software? No.
QuickNet.
QuickNet was done. QuickNet itself was done actually long time ago. Alexei.
Olivier make it run on these machines and make the cross the 2G barrier here at the GitHub because we couldn't do something anymore. But he is now good in QuickNet.
Okay, so we have to treat him well.
Right now I have the feature extraction part where I can get the Phoneme posteriors generated through the neural net.
Great. So
then I think
you just miss the backend, which is easy because it's HDK,
yeah.
It's everyone knows.
Yeah, but HDK through for some other task I have run HDK. So
okay.
I have the general field, but maybe I can take the entire setup from you and run it once on my existing to have it.
Yeah, okay. And you just need from us to hear what are the other front ends and other features to choose something?
Yeah, so then I
think
what I can
do. Well, the whole idea then is that you start playing with it, right?
Yeah.
And you.
Yes.
Okay, so what do we do? should I list it or?
Yes.
That might be the.
Firstly, the feature extraction that we have already taken, then the backend for that.
Yeah.
Then?
Well,
yeah.
Like I distinguish between feature extraction and then the MLP because you feed something to the MLP which has the value.
Okay.
So well, that's what I call it. And then the backend.
Yeah.
But okay. Also, what I have here, what I've been working on since I was here was MFC CPLP, which is always needed for comparison purposes.
Yeah.
Then traps with Warrior's Lens, and also you know traps, no?
Yeah, traps I know, but with various?
With Warrior's Lens.
Okay, lens.
We were trying to start from the ultimate lens of one frame up to 1 second or even more, but it was. So this also, then we applied the DCT on the trap itself, which is something like the Gaussians, applying some filtering basically the trap. So this is mainly Fanta who was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is related to traps. I was also trying warping.
Okay.
Means if you have a second, which is 101 samples, I was just keeping the central 10 samples, and then I was throwing away some of them, you know, like resampling this this 1 second of the trap to something which I preserved all the points in the center and just picked every tenth point at the boundaries, mm-hmm. which means the trap, 101 trap trajectory shrink to say 15 points with still preserving the maximum resolution at the center and throwing away most of the points near the boundary. So this I was trying, so this I have some results on. So these are traps, then the Gauss traps.
Okay.
Then tandem system. The tandem you plus minus have because that's just the PLPs.
Okay.
And then there is a training with MLP.
Okay.
It's taking some context of these PLP coefficients. Uh-huh. So it's like feeding PLPs or MLPs.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, to MLP and taking some contact. This is the tandem. So this setup we also have here.
Okay.
I didn't experiment with this, but maybe in some more results, it's Hemant who has the results on tandem, I guess.
He used to have before he lost
all right. Yeah, but
he will have it again.
I think the most important results are already in the thesis he's writing.
Uh-huh.
So it's there somewhere. So this is tandem. Then what? And then there is the GLP. Then we can talk more about
that.
Which I have more experiments on.
Yeah.
Also distorting and compression and some of these things.
Right.
So compression basically you are looking at.
Yeah, but I'm using that for a different reason, right? So it's a speech coding, so what is the task is you just take the speech, of course, somehow to encode it into as small number of bits as possible and with a reasonable quality, of course, and again to decode it.
Okay.
And I'm using FDLP for that, still playing with more or less 1 second long segment,
mm-hmm.
so just dividing the speech into 1 second frames,
okay.
doing DCT,
mm-hmm.
it's just the standard work, and then doing some compression. And computation. But you're doing the same, no?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But you just didn't talk about.
Yeah, yeah. You take the DCT and you just divide it into several subbands, different bands with a different.
By the way, you don't do the overlap on the subbands, no?
No, I do.
Yeah, but you don't do the overlap on the tandem?
No.
Yeah.
I don't do.
Okay.
You
don't do the
compression, you're basically.
Yeah, just 1 second without overlapping. But in frequency domain, there is a overlap because you can choose which filters you want, more or less, just trajectories of those bands. So there is overlapping. I'm using those Gaussian filters or classical, there's those trapezoidal,
mm-hmm.
like in MSCCs,
mm-hmm.
right? And then processing each. Yeah, Bill.
MSCC,
triangles, that one. Then I'm doing independent processing of each frequency band.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm computing that Hilbert envelope,
okay.
which is just the envelope of some temporal trajectory. And more or less you can divide this into a Hilbert envelope, Hilbert carrier, which is something like LP, a linear prediction envelope,
mm-hmm.
autoregressive model, and excitation signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are two parts or items you need somehow to encode if you want again to get original speech or
mm-hmm.
reasonable quality.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there is some compression factor, which is again when you're computing that autoregressive model
mm-hmm.
from FDLP, you can compress the spectrum somehow in such a way that you rather preserve those, even also those dips, not only peaks.
Mm-hmm.
The spectrum,
okay.
and it sounds better for some kind of.
You know about this compression,
how
and why it's. Okay.
He knows more than I do.
Well, he's new, he's doing most of the things.
So it's kind of logarithm when you use logarithm for MSCCs, right? So it's again compression factor, something. And but then you have to uncompress it again,
mm-hmm.
of course, to get back the speech. And there are other things which
mm-hmm.
I'm doing, but it's not related to speech recognition so much.
But certainly when it comes to like the open modeling of temporal trajectories, even that the Fossig is not here, you would probably probably know a lot about it by now.
Well, what?
Now that approximating the better right, developed right. by Allboy model.
And what?
At the LP. When you are not here,
I mean, it will be more or less the same approach, right?
Same. There is different application, okay, different software or something.
So, just in the speech recently with our coding interview, did you try to play with the note somewhere?
With like what?
With, I don't know, the compression number of bands and...
Number of bands and...
What you were playing with and what are the results, like what to use?
You know, that's the problem for speech coding, because I don't have results like in speech recognition.
Yeah, of course.
Because I have to listen to it.
I'm fine with it.
And, well, so now what I'm using are 15 bands, which seems to me, 15 frequency bands, which seems to me quite reasonable. We can go down till like 12 and still okay, I would say, but then you start hearing difference. Or also, that's another problem. Once you can go down with frequency bands, then you will have much more complicated that, let's say, excitation signal or that carrier.
If you go down?
Yeah.
If you make a broader band.
Broader bands.
Because when the band is narrow, the excitation is close, the carrier is close to sinusoid, basically.
So there is more and more frequency components, let's say, or something like that. In one
so you won't say that the LPC is not able to fit it, so that the residual was
no LPC easy. Will maybe, but then you have still another part, something like a source and a filter. So when you are doing speech pooling, or
you may almost want to this use the whiteboard. I mean, that's why we have it here, right?
Right.
So can you remove this when you're going to this place?
I don't think so.
Well,
I mean, it's the same like when you are doing LP synthesis, right? So you've got source signal, I don't know, source.
I think you have to push it as much as possible. Because
And then there is some filter, which is that one divided by AZ. And that's it. And the source can be a noise signal, or it can be some sequence of what is that?
Pulses,
right?
This is a standard domain, right?
Yeah. So it's more or less the same what I'm doing. So this is some envelope, which is in our case related to Hilbert envelope, and this is a source signal, which is Hilbert carrier.
But since you are in a different domain, this is here you are in time domain, right? But
when
you are really in a frequency domain, so the lines turn into signs, right?
Right.
And you and since
exactly. Yeah, this is now going to be
because this spectrum is also line spectrum, right? I mean all components. So if you are in frequency, your source looks like this.
Yeah. So more or less, if we can plot it. So what we can see is some Hilbert envelope like this, and then there is that Hilbert carrier, or this is not Hilbert carrier, but this is the signal which we get from one frequency band. So you compute DCT, right?
This is the subband.
Exactly.
Time signal.
Right.
And what we get from that is this Hilbert envelope, right?
So you know that.
And the second, which should be that carrier, should be something like this. It's just really close to cosine, you might see, if you do it properly, right? And this is what you also have to somehow transmit, or at least try to transmit. In order to get
and this is
working the residual in LPC fit of the Hilbert envelope. Don't do this, I was not thinking of this at all before. You know?
Right.
There are three things. First, you have to encode this, then the LPC coefficients, and the residual of the LPC fit.
No, I don't need LPC. No.
This is like the residual for
me. This is a residual for me.
In the for the residual?
Yeah, I just want to transmit this signal, right? It's and what you need is this envelope and this one carrier, and you can get the same signal. This shape.
Okay.
Doing IDCT. Yeah.
And the biggest problem currently is that the carrier is actually not cosine, but something a little bit more.
For example, for us, if you have a very good music signal, which is very periodic, you can really see something like. It's one peak.
And if the frequency doesn't change over the length of the...
It doesn't change. It's related to
that frequency of the broadband or
yeah.
If you have those filters, which are wider and wider, this is that center frequency, which is somehow related to this one.
Okay.
So then you can transmit.
So the broader bands, the water on the picture.
It's worse and worse. Then you don't see anything like cosine.
Fortunately, because of properties of hearing, more or less, for the higher bands, if you put in just some garbage, some noise, it doesn't really matter all that much. It sounds a little bit worse, but it's not a big tragedy. If you want to do a good voice speech, you want to get the lower bands. And if you put in noise altogether,
everywhere,
it sounds like a whispered speech.
It sounds like perfectly. LPC when you excited by noise. It's better, I would say. Better quality. Definitely better quality. It's lower of this way, but that's a problem.
So now we have to kill them both, because, I mean, Reed gave all the secrets away.
Yeah,
what all this is going to.
Any objective measure you use for?
Objective measure, distances, spectral distances. Well, it didn't work so properly, so well, I mean.
If Motorola or Nokia gets hold of this tape,
then
we are in trouble. Hopefully by then it will be protected and everything, right?
Well, I read that we shouldn't talk about confidential.
Listen, this is a science. I mean, it's a confidential to the extent that we are not publishing it yet, but we of course will. But we have to make sure that if Qualcomm has an interest, who's funding the work, they have to have a chance to patent it or something. It's this is not a public presentation,
right.
So this is not even a problem.
Yeah, sure.
The only problem would be if nobody can beat Peter Motlicek anymore. I mean, if Nokia knows everything, if you sell it tomorrow, who did you work for? HP, they will take half a year before they will even realize what it is. And by then, so it's not problem. Okay, so
So there is a compromise between the lower bands, the worse stuff you just said, and the more bands, the more coefficients to transmit.
Right.
So 15 is about the token.
Yeah. Also, there are papers about that if you have like 12 frequency bands, it's somehow optimal.
Okay. So this, and then there is a compression.
Compression is only to relate to somehow feed that Hilbert and Milop to
get that.
So that you get, that you can modulate it. Sure.
Yeah, you can model it better. There is no echo or some kind of interference in the signal. If you really go down with that compression factor to like 0.1, something
what?
0.1
compression.
So what is the compression factor that we're getting here?
When you compress the effectively the signal which we are modeling,
right.
And so then you get a fit into compressed signal.
Okay.
Essentially, if you were in spectral domain, you would compress the power spectrum.
Yes.
Here you compress the
subband power spectrum.
Yeah, the CT of the signal.
Right.
And so then you have predictor is fitting actually this compressed signal, but you know how much it was compressed, so you can always expand it back, so that you get a fit to the original thing, except that the fit is different, because it basically this open modeling has a different properties.
Yeah, you just preserve something different.
We can tell you a little bit more about it. This is an old technique. Which
I think Hinek has good mathematical papers or something. Mm-hmm. So that.
It was my thesis, PhD thesis actually. That's not a piece. STLP was called Spectral Transform Linear Prediction. It was my first ICAS paper ever. It was in 1983 in Boston. I was still in kindergarten, right?
Right. More or less. Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. But nobody was using it for anything, except it was cute, but that was about it. But now it seems like that since what we are doing here, normal LPC is fitting peaks, right?
Yes.
But when you are modeling Hilbert envelope, you don't necessarily want to fit only peaks. You sometimes want to get a basically good estimate of the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps you, because then this spectral transform allows you to to find the right balance between how well it fits peaks, how well it fits dips, and so I think that basically, I don't know what else, I mean, you should be asking questions, right?
One thing I wanted to know is a good literature on this.
I think you can already take those papers from Mario's.
That's
FDR.
That's really not.
I have two.
Sapa or how it's called?
Sapa, and then, this is
then,
two papers. One is in Sapa, one is in InterSpeech.
InterSpeech,
in Jeju. And one was in ASRU.
Yes.
From Virgin Islands.
What is Sapa?
Sapa was.
I didn't know.
I tell you what it stands for: statistic and something and perceptual approaches. I was on the organizing committee, as you know, but statistic and something approaches, perceptual and statistics and perceptual approaches.
But there are also reports from IDIAP, I think. At least two reports from Marius seem to me.
But they are the same, right?
Yeah, they are more.
And then also, is there some more work actually can be traced down? I think they're reading Les Atlases papers are very good, because Les Atlas is doing a lot of work on coding in this domain. He doesn't use ORPOR model, but he uses DCT, and then he. And Les is an excellent guy. He's a very good very good theoretician. Basically, he's a Stanford guy, and really he likes to write things well. So he's very rigorous, as opposed to me, for instance. So if you read that, then you know that there are no errors.
Sometimes unreadable.
So whatever you get hands on from Les Atlas for over past 5 years, regarding this, 2 years ago, last year, on one of the ICAS, he had like 5 papers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
various aspects of this, because
I think this year on InterSpeech was one paper, but it was regarded to speech recognition.
Okay.
Somehow.
Is that so? I didn't even see it.
Yeah. It was not something like speech coding or that DCT transforms, nothing like that.
Also, I can. Before Marius left, he had actually left himself, but all the files are here.
Mm-hmm.
And also, all the MATLAB implementations of this are here. And there is also one big table that he used
to fill in with all kinds of parameters.
Yeah, he was also playing with all these compression factors and lengths of the of that. And there is a big table in Excel. Which you can look at.
There's all kinds of speech recognition results, right?
Yeah,
it was the first time you start using the cluster, I remember, or some parallel processing.
It,
there was a big thing
it,
here.
It took a huge amount of time. And he was the first one to realize that these guys are pretty slow to do these things.
Everybody hated him temporarily, I remember.
He just puts here the PMake environment, and he didn't stick to any cluster or anything. He just put PMake and run it on all the machines here.
Uh-huh.
So at some point he was using all the available memory by any mistake, and also in the morning all the machines were just stuck. No one could ever.
I remember Frank came to me and says, if everybody was computing like Mario's, we would be all dead. That's the Frank, but I want everybody to compute like Mario's.
So these results, because he was doing everything in MATLAB, so it was again 10 times more demanding than C++, and then
maybe it's hard to say. It's not so bad. He really write it well.
But he did. He wrote anyway. Because in the code that I wrote, I was like playing also with if the matrix is sparse. I really don't use it all. I just multiply from here to here, and optimize my matrix, and then I just optimize it a bit, and also blast libraries and all these things. But
whatever.
It is important, in a way. I mean, this is something which we never talk about, right? Like how much work
Oh yeah, sure, it is important
here
for this
because
game,
it's true is that things sped up tremendously since I came. I mean, of course, partially because they started to buy some more
yeah.
hardware, but also some people basically know how to.
But there's the backend recognizer which I will give you, which is turnaround of 18 minutes or well, from 11 to 15 minutes normally.
It
would
used to be 2 days, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, today. It was over 1 hour, it's just like 10 times less, maybe, or 5 to 10 times less, but
mm-hmm.
still you can 5 times more.
So, do you already know what is the situation with you? You go back to Prague for a while, and then did you get anything in France? I got some ideas, by the way.
Great. I have to talk to you about this. I don't know. I didn't try to anything. I didn't even mail to Andrzejewski.
Uh-huh.
I just talked to one girl there, which told me that he would be possibly able to find me a job there. Any job, like related maybe to her, but job, not anything, any research. So if nothing, then I could be able to get a job.
You don't die of hunger.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but
that's not the end. You'll try something.
Okay.
So, Joel, your main basically thing is, as I told you when you were walking, that whatever Petra did, that it doesn't die,
yeah.
But it carries, and obviously, we very much hope that you get into that and you get excited, then you just. More and or maybe even different things.
We hope that you find out that everything was wrong and that the potential
that it actually works.
It's
not that it doesn't work.
No, but after you find out the bug, then it will be. That will be. Yeah. So we will send you the papers related.
Yeah.
And I will point you to the code, which
yes.
I have.
Yeah, well, regarding this FDA.
Yes,
and this is all on the record, so if we can roll him into his work.
Yes.
Actually, I can just now tell the locations of all the files and rewind.
Browse through the meeting.
So.
What are we doing time-wise? Yeah, I think half hour is fine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any more things?
But you will be here until end of...
until 24. It's the Friday.
November.
It breaks my heart. It's just like I will just start teaching and then I will need an assistant.
Mm-hmm. It's not good, that's my skill.
But hopefully it pay some extra. So
what are you going to talk or to teach? It's just a perceptual
speech.
Stuff.
It's actually a combination of two classes I was giving at OGI,
mm-hmm.
which is like speech processing and perception. And so I try to put it together so that it makes some sense.
Do you already know how many students you have?
No. I should have at least 4 because this is a graduate school. I have one, right?
Oh,
guaranteed.
Graduate.
I have one guaranteed that I don't know if anybody else is.
Well, I think Guillermo was.
3,
more.
I mean, 4 credits or total?
Sorry? I don't know. I don't know if it needs to be 4 credits or not. I don't know how much I like people without not taking it 4 credits because then they just sit there and having a good time. But it's okay. No, it's okay.
Because in IA6, 4. Guillermo is taking, I think.
Guillermo is taking, very good. Yeah, so I already have at least 2. And, I probably get 4.
Well, I would like to go there, but not just for credit, just maybe to give something new.
It's possible, that's for sure. I mean, it's. Okay.
Yeah, last time it was. For me, it was good, the course, from one special reason, because when the floods in Turkey,
mm-hmm.
I lost all my papers from my school, all the exercise books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how to say this?
Yeah, the notebooks.
Note, yeah, all the notepads and everything. All notes from any courses, so I was remembering what I was learned,
but that's
what
good,
I was
you know.
Taught at the time, so I have it now back, at least partially. Because all the algorithms you were speaking about.
I didn't get into too many things actually. You know, the reason was that at the time we thought I was teaching with Hervé, and we thought we have much more time, and suddenly we ran out of time basically, because what happened was that it was supposed to be 3-hour lecture, it was only 2-hour lecture, and Hervé assumed that it's going to run longer, or I don't know what he assumed, but suddenly we said, oh, so where are you? I said, well, I'm slowly getting into a PC. So we have only 3 more lectures. I have to teach each of them and everything. So the part was like I had to do it in 1 hour, and then everybody was totally confused, I guess.
Yeah. Also in the labs, people didn't know anything about it, and they just followed the paper.
Yeah.
When was it?
It was in India file. Okay, guys, I think that unless somebody has still anything very, very important.
Yeah, but I can come.
Right, it's a little bit up to you. You have to bug this, especially Heather, because just to make sure that.
Yeah, but anyway, after I'm back, I'll be still on Skype and all these things, so
okay.
No problem to contact me until. I don't know, May next year.
Do you think that you will be done by May? Is it planned?
Well, I would like to. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, we made a mistake, I tell you. I think if I had to do it again, we made a mistake. We should have registered you here at EPFL. You would have had a degree by now from EPFL. Yeah, that was a mistake.
So I would have to study here for the long time, no? That's
3 years. You were here. How long you were here? 2 years.
Two years, yeah. I would have to stay one more. Well, it would be good reason for the podcast, but then I have to stay in.
So is she getting another position there, or is that?
She's in a good position because she's a friend who is starting a lab there. Everything
is,
it's a great opportunity for her.
Yeah.
But the problem is then she will go back and family issues. For a girl, it's always the pain because she has to break for some time, at least a little, but has to break. And in science, it's not that easy.
I know.
To break.
Okay.
So, in case I need something on this DLP
or something. Oh, sure.
Otherwise, I'm also much more available than I was. I mean, when you came, it was just like. One of the greatest times of this year. It's not that I was very perfect, I was doing anything useful, but it's just like, it's a little bit like writing thesis, all the time rewriting and make little changes.
Yeah, but I think definitely you are the best person here related to availability of you. Because if I want to go to Hawaii, I probably call secretary.
many more people to take care of him.
There was no. Every time I came to you, you were available.
Typically, I try to be because
that's
you
great.
Know this is also my livelihood, right? Students, so I have to make sure that they need to know something. So feel free, basically, to stop by anytime.
Yeah.
And it's not that I know everything, but I know. I think I sort of know a little bit, like what you guys were doing, right?
So.
But not all the details.
You know the core, which we don't remember anymore. While programming.
What? Yeah, you don't know why you are doing
the details. And you know what is. Loops.
Why are you doing this?
Questions
are kind
of
possible.
Ask my boss.
Okay, I think my mic is falling, so I think we go, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Oops, I have to take this off, I see. Okay, well, I hope that it was long enough. Yeah?
If I go live with this, it's going to be something.
From the stars.
From the stars.
Je to se na ty puntíky. A ty budou určitě natisklý jako special tam.
Musíme jít.